3 p.m. on Mondays, win, lose, or draw, we always welcome in our good guy. Our good guy, that was a weird way of saying it. Browns analyst Nathan Zagura on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Nathan, how you doing?
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. How are you doing?
I love that energy. No, I'm doing all right. I mean, it was a weekend. What are we going to do here? I actually will say, like, I'm not, you know, Captain Brown and Orange Glasses right now. I actually thought they played well enough to win on Sunday. Like, I didn't feel as bad about the game overall as I did against Washington. That feels like a step in the right direction, no?
Yeah, I just think when you look at it kind of in sum, unfortunately, you are 1-5 and you've lost, you know, four games in a row. You have had in three of those games, I don't think Washington, you did have a chance. So in that case, it was better than that performance. You had opportunities late in the game to either tie or win those games against teams that, you know, are struggling in their own right and were unable to do so. And I think it's just kind of the familiarity of what's happening and the issues that we have, whether it be, you know, penalties down near the goal line for 2 weeks in a row, whether it be drop passes that have plagued the team all season, whether it be too many sacks that have plagued the team all season, whether it be an inability to pass for 200 yards, an inability to produce 300 yards, an inability to score 20 points in a game where for the second time in 3 weeks you got a touchdown from your defense and or special team. So I think it's more kind of the culmination of that frustration of weeks and weeks of unfortunately seeing all too familiar signs that are in large part associated with struggling football teams, and that's exactly what the Browns are.
Is there a fire alarm going on in the background?
There is. Yeah, just went off.
I believe we call that an analogy. No, is it a euphemism? I don't know. Is it too early to say that this season is becoming about something other than winning?
Yes. What do you mean?
Well, just, I mean, have we shifted to, I know winning is always the goal on any given Sunday. You can't really abandon that. But are we getting close to shifting to maybe thinking about next year and kind of evaluating who's going to be here, who's not going to be here?
I mean, I think you're always evaluating everything. I don't think so yet. I think that if things continue down this path, you know, after the bye week, perhaps there's a different perspective on the season. But you haven't played a single game in your division yet. You've got two of them back-to-back at home that obviously, you know, if you can find a way to win those two games, then all of a sudden things look a little bit different than they currently do right now. So, no, I think it's far too early for that, despite the fact that, you know, this team is it's struggling in a manner in which none of us really thought was possible.
Nathan, looking to, I guess it's the defense and Miles' performance, because Miles had the big field goal attempt blocked there. But I don't think it's crazy to say, I think the defense tightened up on a lot of different things. What was the difference this week as maybe opposed to certainly the Washington game?
The difference in the defense?
Yeah.
I thought they played, for the most part, a good game. Big plays, similarly to last week. It was big plays that kind of that rued the day. But I thought they did a great job against Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley had come into this game, you know, averaging 130 total yards per game. He had come into this game having at least 80 yards rushing in every single game. And I thought the Browns actually did a really nice job on him in this game. Saquon Barkley, season low, 18 carries for 47 yards, so not even three a carry, and they held him to just 54 total yards. So that was almost 80 yards below his season average. He was averaging 108.8 yards per game on the ground. So 60 yards off of his rushing pace, 80 yards off of his total pace. That was good. You still were victimized. You had a 34-yard catch and run to Grant Calcaterra. You had a 45-yard catch and run touchdown to Devonta Smith on, you know, that shouldn't happen. And then a 40-yarder, obviously that big play down to A.J. Brown at the end, who also had a 20-plus yard touchdown. So it was kind of big plays that did you in. But I thought defensively, yeah, there were certainly some good things, but you can't get beat by a mesh concept in man twice the way that they did, where it was just kind of wide open and easy for Devonta Smith. And so they're going to have to do a better job and clean that up. When you play man, obviously that's a concept you know you're going to get, and typically the Browns have done a better job with that, but in this one they were not able to do so. I think, you know, JOK continues to play at a very, very high level, a sack, a tackle for a loss, a pass defensed. I thought Rodney McLeod had a great game. I thought Mahmoud Diabate at the second level brought a lot in this one with seven tackles, a physicality that was good to see. But ultimately not enough up front in terms of the pass rush, and Jalen Hurts had a little bit of time to go, but I thought we did a great job against their run. I thought that really did stand out as a positive in this game.
Nathan Zagura, Browns analyst in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. So one thing that did go better this week, going in the right direction, is the run game. How much of that do you think was on the backs, who, again, everybody combined for 100 yards on the dot, and how much of that do you think happened up front?
I think in a run game, it's everybody. And, you know, Pierre Strong, I thought, brought some nice juice. 8 carries for 43 yards. He had 2 catches for 35, so 78 total yards on his 10 touches. I'd like to see him get more. I liked what we saw from him when Jerome Ford went down. So I thought that was very good. The line did better. And I thought we ran a few more under center, kind of traditional Kevin Stefanski, you know, outside zone runs, getting their line moving horizontally and allowing the running back to pick that lane when they put their foot in the ground and get north-south. So I thought, yeah, there were definitely some better things in the ground game. And I think, you know, the final numbers in terms of completion percentage for Deshaun Watson were good. But and obviously in the second half, he was better than he was in the first half. But, I mean, still 168 yards. The yards per attempt still not really where you need them to be. And you're just not able to get the ball in the end zone. I think that's the problem. Third down woes have continued to be a major, major issue for this Cleveland Browns team, and it was not until the second half of this game that you were able to convert a third down. 5 sacks is still too many. So offensively, we know it. Everybody's kind of written about it. It's been historically bad, and it unfortunately, you know, you have got to find ways to score the football and to get touchdowns. And the Browns have not had offensively a non-garbage time touchdown since the first drive against the Raiders. And that's why you've lost, you know, 4 in a row, big picture, but really 3 in a row.
Are the Browns... Oh, sorry, bud. Go ahead.
No. No, that was it. Just from that moment of the opening drive touchdown.
Are the Browns caught between the two offenses, what Kevin has liked to do traditionally and what Ken Dorsey maybe was brought here to kind of bring in and add to what Ken did or Kevin does?
Yeah, I don't know. And that was something that Kevin Stefanski was asked. I think they did find some success in this game, not only with the under center Stefanski runs, but then also doing some of the wide RPOs where you got the receivers way out wide and just kind of ran your line against their box and was able for Deshaun to read that. And we had success running the football that way. I think it just comes down to execution. It comes down to, you know, same thing, shooting yourself in the foot, having the penalties. The Browns have more offensive penalties than any team in the league. They're averaging a penalty almost on 1 out of every 11 offensive plays. It's an untenable way to play football. They had 7 penalties against the Eagles, all 7 on the offense. So that's not a way to win. And so I think it's a combination of things. I think it's a combination of penalties on offense. I think it's a combination of when you scheme something up that produces a big play opportunity in the pass game, either it feels like pressure disrupts it, or the quarterback doesn't necessarily see it. And sometimes when the quarterback does see it and rips it, it ends up being dropped. And so it's just kind of a number of symptoms that are causing the Browns to really lag offensively. It's not like the Eagles were great in this game. Let's just be honest about it. In that place, they were booing them. They were ready after the Browns got that defensive touchdown, the block field goal, or special teams touchdown, block field goal returned by Rodney McLeod. It was Boo Bird City in Philadelphia. And the Browns, they just still could not find a way to ultimately win this game and get the football into the end zone.
Nathan, we haven't talked about this yet, but the last drive for the Browns, you're what, 3rd and goal on the 3, Zach Zinter false start. And then that was the Deshaun pass to Njoku. Then you go to 4th down, Jed Wills takes you to another false start. Now it's 4th and goal at the 13. Kevin decides to kick. At that moment, I'm just kind of curious if you had heard Kevin kind of talk through decision when you needed 7 with, I think it was 3:54 to go. Why take 3 there?
Because, I mean, what is the likely, if you take the 3 there, you still had your defense, which you believe in, right? As you said, it was almost 4 minutes left. 3 timeouts and the 2-minute warning. You just needed to stop them from getting multiple first downs, which is something your defense typically does pretty well. And unfortunately, they weren't able to do it. I think once you were at 4th and 13, just the percentage, they were going to go for it from the 8, but from the 13, that's a pretty low percentage conversion because they know it's got to get into the end zone. There's just no space, you know, vertically to stretch them. I think it's just such a low percentage play. You take the points and then you've got a good defense that you were counting on to get you the football back. And unfortunately, they just were not able to do that at the end of that game. But those false starts, I mean, it's so similar to Washington. You started off at the 2, end up kicking from the 12 because of the false starts, or because of the penalties. And that's what ends up happening here. And that's good teams don't do that. And bad teams do. And that's how bad teams, you know, come up short in games that probably they should have a better chance to win.
Nathan, how much do you think, what is it, for the four of the first six games and certainly the last three games on the road, how much of that do you think is played into this?
Just that they've been on the road, you mean?
Yeah, especially three straight road games kind of.
I don't, because, you know, the Giants game was at home and it was similar in terms of the penalties and inability to execute at a high level. And week one at home was not very good for you either. Your only win has come on the road week two down in Jacksonville. So do I think that? I don't think that's a big factor. I think, honestly, for a team that's struggling, going on the road and being able to kind of make it an us against the world mentality is probably helpful. Gets away from some of the noise. But unfortunately, you know, they just have not been able to capitalize or put together for 60 minutes good, clean football and enough offensive football to win games.
What's the one thing, if you can change, I make you a sport god, the football god for one day, you can change one thing and it'll help you win the Cincinnati game, what is it?
You just have got, you've got to not shoot yourself in the foot. If we could say, all right, we're not going to make any of the self-inflicted wounds in this game, I feel like you have a decent chance to win. There are things, I'm sure a lot of people are surprised that after hearing Kevin's fancy that there are not going to be changes to certain things, and perhaps there will be changes that we just don't know about, you know, publicly per se. Obviously, something's got to change, and it's got to start with, I think, the whole week of and the way that, you know, you prepare for this game, and then the way that you're able to go out and execute, because playing the way that the Browns currently are playing on offense is not good enough to win football games, and that is why they are where they are. I mean, defensively, have you been the number one defense like you were a year ago? No, that's very difficult to do year after year in the NFL. Just is one of those things that does not happen often. But it's still a good defense and a defense that has played well enough, by and large, for you to be in games and have an opportunity to win. So it's just going to come down to the offense executing and not inflicting wounds that put them in situations that make it more difficult for them to be successful.
Nathan, it's been a rough start to the season, man. No polish in that, but I think you and Andrew come together really nicely. So much fun to hear you guys. And listen, I know these aren't always easy, but I sure as hell appreciate your time, bud.
Yeah, you got it, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you so much. Browns analyst Nathan Zegura on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.